Hi guys, welcome to another edition of Gold Bazan. This is Pasha Hajian speaking. It's an absolute pleasure for us to be, you know, been on this long journey with you guys. It's today, as officially is our four-year anniversary. We started this project 4 years ago talking about the reigning national team, and so far it's just been such a fantastic journey, and we appreciate all the support and everything that you guys have given us. Today, myself, Pejman Apars and Ariel Verdi, we're going to be talking about the preview of Iran's big, big match, which technically speaking is definitely our World Cup final, because that match would definitely dictate if we're going to, you know, make it to the next round or not. So we hope you guys enjoyed. There's plenty to talk about. And as always, thank you guys for the support. Guys, I'm right now joined with Ariel Verdi and our very own Pejman Apars. I mean, they're both part of the team. I'm just trying to, you know, tease you, Ariel, there. Guys, absolute pleasure to have you guys on the pod again. It's been a while for me to discuss about a national team. A huge, huge game. It's basically our World Cup final this Friday. Ariel, how you doing today?
Good, good. Happy to be on the show again. Hopefully we can discuss some topics leading up to the World Cup this Friday and our game against Morocco. And obviously what's happened during the last couple of weeks. Excited to be with Pejman and yourself, Pasha.
Pejman.
Hi guys, I'm ready. Let's go.
Alright, awesome. So for the listeners that are listening to this, obviously as you guys know, the reigning national team compared to the likes of Morocco is definitely not prepared. Morocco, in the last, let's say, seven matches, they played against the likes of Serbia, Uzbekistan, Ukraine, Slovakia. Recently, they just played against Estonia. Out of all these matches, they won four of them, drew one, which is, you know, fantastic. They're just on a streak, and right now they're considered Africa's best team for a reason. Compared to the likes of Iran, you know, recent matches, you know, we played against Uzbekistan, which wasn't even their side. It was the young players from that team. We played against Sierra Leone. Apparently, that wasn't even their national team side. We recently lost to Turkey. Two of our matches that should have been played against Greece and Kosovo got canceled. And recently, behind closed doors, we played against Lithuania. So, guys, right off that bat, we got big issues, especially that, you know, Kairos seems like he couldn't experience much as well. So coming off with you, Aria, you're looking at Morocco's side and the way they've been playing and with the likes of teams they've been playing compared to the likes of Iran, it's not going to be easy, is it?
No, you're right. It won't be easy. You know, I think the game against Slovakia and Estonia, I mean, they're not the biggest sides in Europe, but at least they're playing, you know, European teams on a regular basis. I think that it shows that they're preparing the team well. They've got players playing in Europe week in, week out, and it won't be easy because, you know, our defence has been shaky the last couple of friendlies. You know, Jalal Hussaini is not in the squad. Obviously, him and Prady Ganji were the rock at the back and the qualifiers, and we won't have them. So, I think that Morocco will go into the game with the more of an attacking intent than Iran because, for me, I think that they will know that the players like Belhanda, Ziyech, Amrabat, Poussoufa, etc., they have the quality to unlock any defence. And I think because of the way Iran played against Turkey, they'll go on with the confidence that they can score goals against Iran. And, you know, that could go in their favour or it could go against them because Iran, obviously, we know in the past, can hit teams on the counter. And if they try to attack and really enforce the game, you know, it might actually go against them. So it'll be interesting, but it won't be easy for sure.
Pejman, based off of what Aria said, you know, looking at the fixtures that Morocco played compared to the likes of Iran, especially considering the fact that behind closed doors there were some injuries. The IFF, you know, the Iranian Football Federation, gave a press release saying that Torabi, Amiri, and Dejag obviously wasn't 100%, so he's injured as well amongst those lists. And I believe there was somebody else, and Taremi. Do you think it's going to make a big impact, especially considering the fact that I'm pretty sure we all could agree that Taremi would have started this match against Morocco?
Well, there's always some problems in the team if you have too many injuries. That means that the probable starting lineup that Kairos had in mind must change. Now, let's say that neither Taremi or Dejaga or even Rezaian, he was on that list too. If none of them will start against Morocco, then we have then Carlos must put in some new players there that he maybe didn't want to do in the first place. We really don't have a good backup for Rezaian since Wuri Agafuri is out. So maybe if he's going to put Pejman Montazeri in there. And for Taremi, I do believe we can put in someone there. But the problem is that Queiroz, he got a game plan, he got an idea that he wanted to show against Morocco. And with too many injuries, that's a problem. So hopefully, I hope that all the players are fit and ready so that the coach can choose the best starting 11. Now we can say that, oh, okay, it's good that Rezaian is out because we don't think it's good enough, or Taremi is out. But to be honest, we don't wish any player any injuries, and hopefully they are all fit. And we'll see what Queiroz could bring to the table when it's time to play against Morocco.
And you know, based off the reports behind closed doors, and for the folks that are listening to this, we defeated Lithuania 1-0. Ansari Farid apparently scored in the 88th minute. Behind closer, this was our lineup: Bayram Vand, Ramin Rezaian, a right back, Pur Ali Genci, a Çeşmi. Çeşmi's world class, by the way. And those were our center backs. Left back was Mohammadi. Ebrahimi was pretty much our number six, so this is more of like a 4-1-4-1. Jahanbakhsh, Shojai, Hajj Safi, and Taremi, and Azmoun Abtab. Arya, pretty much this is, I would say this is nearly our, you know, lineup. I'm pretty sure there's going to be one surprise in there, but I still do believe if, let's say, if Taremi is not 100%, I believe Amiri will slide in there because of his work rate. And especially, we're going to talk about what my prediction is about the Morocco team, and we'll discuss about how Queiroz is going to, how we're going to, you know, basically counter them and tactics and that. Would you agree that that's pretty much the lineup, or do you feel like Carlos is going to fare with something else against Morocco?
Yeah, I think it's probably the lineup. I think I agree with you on Vahid Amiri will probably start if Taremi is injured, which could be the case. I think the defense pretty much picks itself. I think Ruzbe Çeşmi will start next to Pur Ali Genci because Queiroz seems to think he's the best defender in the last 10 years that we've produced, which I think is a really strange thing to say, but that's what he said this week. The fullbacks will be Rezaian and Mohammadi if both are fit, because you know they're basically the only natural fullbacks who were taken to the World Cup, so I assume they would start. I think defensive midfielder will be Ebrahimi, because it has to be. I don't think if there's only Çeşmi, if he starts in centre back, then there's no one else to play. Shojai seems like he will start. Hajj Safi will start. Jahanbakhsh will start. Osman, and then it'll be up between. I think it'll be a toss up between Amiri or Ansari Farid for that left winger spot. But yeah, I think it pretty much picks itself.
Pejman, considering the fact that with this lineup, I don't know if you feel like there's a trick up Carlos Queiroz's sleeve that we all know he's always up for surprises. But I also think that what he said about Çeşmi, that he said he's the best modern center back in Iran for the last 10 years from what he's seen, is definitely not what he actually think he means that. I think he's just trying to install a confidence boost, especially with how, you know, as all fans and pundits and stuff, how, you know, Çeşmi's performances last couple of games have been atrocious, to be honest. Do you think that's a sort of a tactic from Queiroz's side?
I can't imagine any other reason, to be honest. But it's hard for us to say. I mean, he's the coach that sees him every day in practice, and he knows more about it than we do. But I do believe that it's a way for him to put some pressure, to release some pressure off Çeşmi. He's been criticized in Iran and outside of Iran as well for his poor performances. And he's still a young guy, and that's something that affects him. So I think this is a way for Carlos to make sure that he still gets the best out of his player. And hopefully this is something that can be a mentally important thing. But to be honest, I can't really see that the things that he's talking about, that he's one of the best central defenders that Iran had in the last 10 years, or modern defenders, or something that he said. Maybe with the right training or with the right attitude, he can be, but the problem is that's not even his position. So I can't see, let us say like this, the things that Carlos have been talking about Chechmy, it's nothing that we've been seeing on the pitch so far.
Right.
But we didn't see the game against Lithuania, so maybe he did great there, but I can't really tell.
Right. Guys, let me just keep it with the center back issue, because this is a huge, huge, huge risk, I think, that he left Jalal Hosseini out. Especially, I think that Mortiza Pradi-Genge is a much better center back due to Jalal Hosseini. Now, I'm not saying that Jalal Hosseini should have started all three games, there's no way, but I do believe that he could have been a huge part, especially if they're going to start Kaby up top. Your Morocco's for the first match. But guys, don't you guys think it's from the likes of Montazeri, Khanzadeh, Chechmy, obviously poor Ali Genji is nailed on starter. Wouldn't you guys say that at least Montazeri should have been the starter, especially he has a vast amount of experience, despite the fact that he's been injured throughout the season for Esteghlal? Arya?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? I mean, listen, I think Montazeri is a great player at the last World Cup. He played as a right back, you know, and he showed that he's a fantastic player. A lot of the pundits around the world were really happy with how he played for Iran. He was one of our best players. But the reason why I don't think he should start is because, I mean, yeah, you can argue that it's international football is different, but for his club, he hasn't really been there. He's been playing at right back for his club. Sometimes he played in midfield, sometimes he played at the back, and he was injured for most of the season. And even against Tunisia,
right.
You know, him and Chechmy really, really messed up in that game, you know, and then Khazri scored the goal. For me, and if you watch Esteghlal's games this season, the only player who was regularly playing until he got injured just at the end of the season was Majid Hosseini. And I'm not saying that he should start in the World Cup, but if a player isn't performing for his club, and a younger player is playing more than him and performing better than him, then you should consider it as a way of like, well, why should he start if he's not performing? And of course, like I say, international football is different, and it is different. But you've also got to take into the perspective that is he losing that level of fitness that he had, that 1 yard of speed that he had in 2014? In my opinion, Montezier is a great defender, but I think he has lost that speed. We saw that against Tunisia, and he's not been playing as much. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of options that Queiroz can do. He can play Khanzadeh, who's a great player. we'll see. We'll see. What do you think, Pejman?
I mean, there's Majid Hosseini as well that I forgot to mention. He's done such a marvelous job. And when I was in Iran, when I was speaking to Schaefer, and I asked him if you think two players that potentially, you know, could break it in Europe, he mentioned, obviously, the goalkeeper, Hossein Hosseini, and Majid Hosseini. And that goes on to show you how highly a foreign manager, obviously, rates his, you know, center back like that. And he just recently just came in through. Pejman, coming off of you, I think that Montazeri was definitely needed, regardless of, you know, his past history and stuff, especially because it's too big of a gamble to leave Jalal out and just install Chechmy, and especially that Chechmy hasn't even played as a center back for his club. He's just been playing as a defensive midfielder. Big risk?
Well, yeah, I don't know what more to say about this topic, really. I mean, this is a risk that they've been taking now, Queiroz and his staff, and it's something that's, I guess, we can evaluate first after the World Cup, that was it a correct choice or not. So far, I mean, Carlos have got the benefit of the doubt so far. If this lineup or this choice with Chechmy could have been taken by an Iranian coach, I'm sure there would be much more setups than it has been so far. People are sure they don't like the idea, but they give Carlos the benefit of the doubt, making sure like, okay, now you've chosen this guy, prove us wrong, and if you prove us wrong, good. Then you show that you are the coach, you're the number one, that you've been in Iran for 7 years and you know what you're talking about. But if you really mess up, if Chechmy does some simple mistakes, it shows that this gamble was way too high to take in such an important stage in his or in the team's progress. maybe this could happen after the World Cup. So it's hard to say. I want to stay optimistic and say, okay, let's give Carlos Queiroz and the team the benefit of the doubt and hope that they will actually do their really best, because we know that usually Iran plays quite good against better opponents, and that's what we are up to in the World Cup.
Guys, let's talk about the Moroccan national team. I'm pretty sure all three of us have watched their matches, and we have a better insight, you know, about how they are. From what I've seen, I don't want to say they're a better opponent. I just believe they're a much better prepared side, you know, especially from the likes of their performance against Estonia. They played very, very well distributing the ball. I think that's one of their most key traits, and very attacking from the lineup against Estonia. So, you know, from what I've gathered is that they had Munir in goal, which I was going to be nailed on goalkeeper. But there's still Hakimi, the player that plays for Real Madrid. Apparently, he's gotten injured from based off of Moroccan news outlets. But let's hypothetically say he's going to start. He was playing as a left back. Then you got Saiz and Benatia nailed on center back. They're going to definitely start. However, what's interesting is that instead of Mendil, he started Abrobat, a winger, as a, you know, right back. Against Estonia, this is, by the way. And in the center midfield, he had El Ahmadi. Obviously, every Feyenoord fan heavily rates him because he's done such a fantastic job for that club throughout the years. And one of their players that I think he's the heart and central of this team is not Hakim Ziyech, but it's this guy, is Boussoufa. I think he's just been marvelous watching him. He's definitely that sort of player that Iran lacks to distribute the ball with. And I think he's going to be, if we could, like, cut this guy's supply line off, I think that's when Iran is going to win that match. And as a number 10 role, you had Hakim Ziyech, Belhanda as a left wing, and a right wing, you had Harit, another top player that is playing for Schalke. And up top, Kabi, a player that has scored, I believe, in 14 matches, like 12 or 10 goals, something ridiculous like that. And he just recently just got into the side. So guys, coming off with you, Arya, very attacking side, very dynamic. Would you really see Hervé Renard going to play this attacking against Iran?
Possibly. I think, like you said, they've got a very dynamic team, great ball distributors. I wouldn't necessarily say they have great runners, you know, pacey players. I think Amrabat's the only player who can run after a defender and try and get by them. I don't think Belhanda and Ziyech have that in them as much. But I think the game against Morocco will go very cagey in the first half. I think both teams will be quite neck and neck, and they'll be trying to just feel each other out. First half will be very neck and neck. I think maybe a late goal in the first half will be the most you'll see. But I think the second half will be one of the teams will need to come out the shell and attack the game. And I think that Morocco will be that team that comes out of the shell and tries to attack the game. I think that they will attack first, and I think that Iran will then have to sit back and try and counter, and I think that's how they'll score the goal. I think if Iran do score a goal, it will be because of a Moroccan error, or maybe they've pushed forward too much, and Iran hit them on the break with the pace of Bordeaux if he comes off the bench, or Jambach, etc. But I don't see Iran attacking the game as much as Morocco probably will. But I still feel like the fullbacks should be, if Hakimi is fit, it should be Hakimi at right back and Mendel at left back. But if he plays Amrabat in that sort of right back position and plays Harit in the sort of attacking line, it'd be interesting to see. Very interesting to see.
Right. Pejman, tell us about what you think about the Moroccan national team side, especially with this lineup they have, especially considering the fact that they play a high line, which that could work to our favor, depending on how well we're going to distribute that and counter-attacking them. And another thing that they do such a great job of is how quickly they press, and with this lack of depth we have in center midfield to distribute the ball, I think that's going to be a key battle for us. It's definitely going to be an offensive match versus defensive match. They're definitely going to decide with the more ball position they're going to attack us. But what is your take on it, Pejmo?
Well, what we've seen from the friendlies, I've been impressed by Morocco, and they show that they can attack and they're dangerous up front as well. But I believe when Morocco starts against Iran, they will be very careful because they know there's a goal against them, an early goal against them could be really tough to handle. So I'm sure that the first 15-20 minutes will be a really slow start with both teams, you know, try to see how the other guys perform and what they do if they try a pass or a different kind of tactic. The thing I know about the Moroccan team is that just like Iran, they have a couple of stars that shine and are better than the rest of the team. But they are also a very good collective that we've seen both in the qualifiers and now in the friendlies. I do hope that Morocco will bring their best team as well, so we'll see a good and fair fight. But I believe that the game against Iran, I think that they respect Iran more than maybe we do in the pod. So that would be probably good for Iran, because every time when a team starts really harsh and rough against Iran, it seems like the Iranian players are sleeping or really not ready to handle that kind of pressure. So if we can have a slow start, then the Iranians have a better chance of getting into the game and try to relax and play the football that they know they can. So we'll see how Morocco will play against Iran when it's time. I do believe that they will take it slow, and that's good for Iran. But they have the ability to make a high pressure from the start and kind of shock Iran from the beginning. And that's something that Kerish team can't afford to accept. But I think that might happen as well. It's really hard to say.
I want to add something quickly. My friend Kiarash was telling me that a stat that Iran hasn't actually come back from when they were losing a game, they've not come back from that ever. In the 7 years Kiarash has been in charge of the national team, whenever we've been behind, they've never been able to capitalize on the result and try and win a game after being behind. So that's a big issue. So if we concede first, for us to then come back and try and win the game is very unlikely, looking back at the record that Kiarash has had with the national team. So basically, if we want to win the game, we need to score first in that sense. But we'll see.
Yeah, but Arya, isn't it the same thing in the opposite, that during these 7 years, Iran have never lost a game if they score the first goal? Correct me if I'm mistaken. No, I'm just talking about the first 90 minutes, not extra time and so that we have against Iraq. So whoever scores the first goal won't lose. We can say that.
Yeah, it's all going to come down to this first goal, especially concerning the fact that we struggle a lot to create goals, unfortunately. And it's going to really come down to my personal opinion. That I'm going to ask you guys this next question, that I think it's going to come down to this: who's going to win this Moroccan versus Iran matchup? It's definitely going to come to center midfield. We have a huge issue right now, especially concerning the fact that Saïd Ezzatoui is out. I think he's our best distributor of the ball. And as we guys saw, Masoud Chaudhry was playing as a 6, and I'm really happy to see that that's not going to happen against this side, because he's way too slow. And then you look at the heart and soul of this Moroccan national team, that I really think that the reason why this team has done so well is because of their player Boussoufa. He's just fabulous. Every time I've watched him, I'm just surprised that not a lot of people talk about it. Everybody talks, obviously, Hakim Ziyech and all these players, you know, but I think he's the heart and soul. Guys, would you guys agree with me, or would you guys say the key battle between Morocco is not actually center midfield, it's somewhere else? Pejman?
I think we can expect a hard fight in the middle, sure. I think we can do that in every game that Iran have, and also Morocco. But I think something that could be really interesting is how the attacking defenders, so to speak, from the left, both the left and right players in Iran and Morocco, how they will handle the offensive kind of play that Iran and Morocco have. Because in Iran we have Mohammadi and probably Rezaian, and that will be really important for Iran when Iran is attacking. And also in Morocco, I believe, is Akrami from Real Madrid that will be kind of attacking, and we will probably see him start and do some important ball distributions from his side. How will we cope? How will Iran and Morocco handle this, you know, this extra pressure that's coming from the defenders? I think that will be much more interesting to see than the game in the middle, because we will be expecting that, but I don't know if we'll be expecting a game like Mohammadi versus Akrami. That will be a really interesting thing to watch, in my opinion.
Arya?
I think, yeah, I think one of the issues that we've got, I think one of the reasons why Queiroz has played Ansari Fard in midfield as a number 8, I think one of the main reasons is because we're missing Izzatullahi, and of course, Izzatullahi is a tall player, and so is Ansari Fard, and if we play Omid Ibrahimi and Haysafi in midfield, we're going to be very, very small. In that sort of middle of the park, I think we're going to be quite weak in terms of physicality. So I think that's one of the reasons why he was testing Ansari Fard as a central midfielder, as a box-to-box kind of player in that midfield. But I think he's maybe come out of that and seen that we probably don't need a player of that type of ability trying to attack all the time. And even when Ansari Fard tries to sit deep, it doesn't really work. So I think Shojaei will probably start, and when you have Shojaei and Haysafi in midfield, great players with the ball, you know, anything can happen. But I still feel like Morocco's midfield is very stacked with great passers and playmakers. The only thing I don't like about Morocco's team, that I've said it before, is they're very slow in terms of, although they're quick passers, when they have the ball at their feet, they're probably not the best runners. So I don't think, like, when Mohammadi has the ball at his feet and he runs with the ball, I think they'll struggle. I think with Jahan Bakhsh's pace, with Ramin Rezaian's overlapping runs, Haysafi getting forward through the middle of the park, I think we're going to cause issues on the break, and with the pace in the side that I think we probably have more than Morocco, we could cause issues. But I think if Morocco decide to keep the ball, they can do it for 90 minutes because of the quality of Boussoufa, Belhanda, etc. But, I've seen it before, this team, Iran, can always sit back and let the team pass the ball and then get them on the counter. So it'd be interesting. It'd be a very, very strong tactical battle between Queiroz and René Harf. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Guys, let's talk about Iran's lineup and formation. I think it's going to be what we played against Lithuania, 4-1-4-1. And hopefully, if Taremi is not injured, you know, he'll start. And if he is injured, I think Amiri will slot in. Pejman, would you say that's going to be the lineup? Or would you say, like, Harris is definitely going to have a surprise up his sleeve, that somebody we didn't expect to start will start? Let's say he's going to somehow drop Chesmi, he's going to slot in, like, Montez or something crazy like that. What are your thoughts?
Well, knowing Carlos Queiroz, we are always in for a surprise. I'm actually one of the worst guys to predict a lineup. When I think I got it, he all of a sudden, like, brings in Ezzatollah Purkaz or someone. So it's really hard. I do believe that we're in for a surprise, but maybe not a big one. Maybe we'll see, like, somebody's close to the lineup, like Ashkan be playing from start, you know. That's the kind of surprise I'm looking at. Maybe, I don't think so, but maybe, like, instead of Sardar, Karim, who, like, put Karim on the bench and have Ashkan like a number 10.
Oh, really? So who would you drop, though, for if you want to bring Ashkan, and who would you say needs to be dropped? Masu?
Well, I don't want to drop anyone. I don't think maybe Ashkan is ready for 90 minutes. But if we will take in Ashkan, then in front we'll have like Azmoun on the top, and from the left we have Taremi, mm-hmm. and then we have Ashkan, and then we have Jahan Bakhsh. And that's what I think.
And then you would say that Shojaei and Ibrahimi would be our center midfielders?
No. I would say Sonhoj Safi with Masu Chojoya probably.
Oh wow, interesting. Okay, Arya, based off of what you know, Pejman said, and how would you see us, you know, attacking or you know, this side? Would you say we're gonna be playing a compact sitting, you know, and let, you know, them dictate it and then we counterattack them, or do you see there's a different approach that Carlos is gonna do against this side?
It's so hard to say, Pasha, because
it's just opinions, you know.
I know. I'll try to answer it the best. Like, basically, right, I see completely different to what Pejman sees. I think that although Jahan Bash will start and Osmoun will start, I actually think that if Vahid Amiri starts, I think Vahid Amiri is going to play a role very close to Mohammadi. I think that that will allow the right hand side with Reza Yan and Jahan Bash to really push forward and sort of in some kind of ways unbalance Morocco's team. So making it more of a right sided skewed attack for Iran, and the left side being quite defensive and Mohammadi only being the option from that left hand side. If Amiri doesn't start, and let's say we start Taremi and Godos, then what I see is we're going to play more through the middle. Although we have the strength on the wings from Taremi and Jahan Bash, I think then you can play Dejaga in the middle of the park and allow the team to build around him and then distribute the ball out wide. If we start, like I said, Amiri, the best way to do it is to try and keep attacking down one flank and unbalance Morocco's defence. But if we have to play a more attacking winger option, then I think we have to go through the middle and have a really good playmaker in there like Shojai and Dejaga to then distribute the ball better. Because we're going to have to feed Osmoun as much as we can. And if we can feed him with long balls, we can feed him with deep crosses, with driven crosses, then it's great. But we have to figure out how we're going to do that. And I think Queiroz is looking at the defence at the moment, and I think the weakness in Morocco's defence will come from the flanks. And also, Romain Saïss is not a centre-back. He's actually a defensive midfielder when he plays for his club. Is it Wolverhampton, I think he plays for? Or maybe Hull City, I think it's one of those clubs in the Championship. And he is not a centre-back, so that will be, like, you look at that and say, it's a weakness, you know, the fullbacks and Saïss. So, you know, I think they also have weaknesses as well. So we can't just say Iran's got a bad weakness in defence, because they have their own weaknesses as well. So we'll see what happens. But I think that it's a really interesting game. Morocco will attack the game, I think, first. So, yeah, I think we'll see a fun game for sure.
Guys, a few more questions before you wrap this episode up. And, I think the biggest player for us versus this side and throughout the tournament, to be honest, isn't going to be Jahan Bash or Osmoun or anyone. I think it's going to be Esanah Hojsefi. I think he's key right now, especially, you know, Masud is an aging player, you know. Saïd Azatoli is not going to be playing this first match, you know. And I think to break the deadlock against the side of Morocco, we need Esanah Hojsefi to be, you know, he's going to be critical for us in doing that. And obviously, he needs help in order to do so. Pejman, would you say that, who would you say is going to be our biggest key player against Morocco? Or would you agree it would be Ehsan?
I think Ehsan is a good pick. I do agree. I mean, he will be the heart of Iran during that game. He's the one that's going to distribute the balls left and right. He will probably take some of the free kicks. He usually, if you remember, he's good at these long throws, you know, that they can be really dangerous. I don't think that he will do them now. I think Iran prefers to maybe hold on to the ball instead of giving a Hail Mary. I would make if I won't choose Ehsan Hojsefi, I would probably go with Alireza Behrenvand. I do believe that Iran will sooner or later be under some heavy pressure, and it's really important that Behrenvand probably makes the game of his life. We all know his abilities, what he's good at, and if he just can keep that consistency, the Moroccans will have a really big trouble trying to score against Bjorn Vand. And it would be really fun if the world could see one of his super long throws, you know, maybe like a counterattack for left or right, an assist from Bjorn Vand. That would be a part of the, you know, the World Cup history for me and for the rest of the world, probably. So Bjorn Vand is a key factor in the game against Morocco.
Are you?
I think that it will come down to how, like you said, Pasha, Haizevi plays. If Haizevi plays the box-to-box role, he will be an unbelievable player for us, because he is one of those players who will never get tired. We saw that against Argentina. He ran like an absolute madman. He was all over the pitch. And this year, I think, with the transfer to Olympiacos, it's really helped him to just add another element to his game. But I think our main player this World Cup will be Osman. I think Osman's the guy who's going to score the goals. You know, who else? Do you know what I mean? We've had the qualifiers. Who was the guy who scored all the goals? It was Sadar Osman, you know. He has to do it. You know, he had a bad season for Rubin Kazan. He's not been great. He hasn't scored goals, but he's shown us against Algeria, against Russia last year, recently, that he can score goals for the national team still. So I think Osman's the guy who is our focal point. He will be the guy who will score the goals if we get the chances for him in the box. And, you know, I'm expecting him to score a header at some point in this tournament, because that's what he likes to do. So, I mean, there's other players, of course, but I think Osman is the guy that we'll have to look at as our main man. So yeah, for sure.
I think you're right. I just want to say I agree with you. If someone's going to score the goals, it's going to be Osman, because he's the kind of guy that can single-handedly make something out of nothing, so to speak. But he can't. He will need some really good passes. I think he needs to make sure that he and Alireza Jahanbakhsh will sync much better than they have done so far. They have had a couple of good games where they've been able to find each other. But against Morocco, if Jahanbakhsh can make his amazing passes to Osman, I'm sure Osman, he won't need many chances to score a goal. That's the good thing about him.
Right. Guys, there's two questions that came from us from Twitter. And let's just quickly talk about these. There's a few more topics I just want to discuss with from at Payam. So thank you for sending your tweet. And we talked about roster predictions, formation prediction, injury updates. He's asking who will take free kicks, who will take corners. What is the best result for us in Spain versus Portugal? I think who will take free kicks will be probably either the Jahanbakhsh and or Ehsan Haizevi, one of those two. And then who will take corners? Either the Jahanbakhsh. Do you guys agree?
I don't know. I think Reza Yon's got a good free kick. I think he's got a good like a David Beckham type style free kick. You've got Deja guy who can take free kicks. You've got Gordos who can take free kicks.
You've got a lot of players, a lot of options. For the first match, though.
For the first match, I think Haizevi will take most of the free kicks.
Okay. Pejman?
I think it depends where on the pitch it is. It's on the left or right. If you want to shoot or make a cross. But all those names you mentioned, sure, they're interesting. If Ashkan will play, I do believe that he will get a chance as well. But long distance, hard shooting abilities, that's Ehsan's specialty. Corners, I think Alireza Jahanbakhsh does really good. Salman Qudus is also a good candidate if he will start, or at least he will probably play something in the second half. Ramin, he usually do some free kicks, but in the national team, I think there are at least two or three players above him, so he probably won't score. He probably won't take any free kicks. Maybe in their own. Near Iran's own goal, but not for scoring goals.
Maybe Ruzbe Chishmi.
guys,
maybe as a header.
Payam here also says, "What is the best result for us in Spain versus Portugal. I think it's Spain is nailed on to go to the next round. So I think that, me personally, I think it would be much better if Spain defeats Portugal. Would you guys agree? Or would you guys would say that maybe a draw or something else? Arya?
Yeah, I think a draw would be good for us. But I think we can't really look at the results. So we have to think about our own game and try and beat Morocco, basically. That's the most important thing. But if we can get them to get a draw, it'd be great for us, I think.
Pejma?
Bring them on, man. I mean, no matter what, there will be a tough game. Mm-hmm. You can say that. Okay, it's good that Spain won, so they can show us that Portugal is in trouble. On the other hand, we can say, okay, if Portugal wins, maybe they play a little bit relaxed, too relaxed against Iran, so that's good for Iran. If it's a draw, then you can make another excuse. So, I mean, these players are all too professional to be concerned about those facts. So, yeah, to be honest, I don't think it will matter at all.
Okay. The next tweet we have from Darrell1985 at DEMELLO1985. Thank you for your question, mate. Is that if it is 0-0 after 70 minutes, will Iran settle for a draw or push for a winner? If it is the former, would fans deem this unacceptable? Arya?
It's tough to say. I mean, I think, it would be unacceptable because I think we have to score goals if it's a draw. But yeah, we have to attack the game at some point.
Yeah. Pejman?
I think Irish will play it safe. That's what happened in the World Cup 2014 against Nigeria. Iran could have been attacking more in the second half, but prefer to lay low and be happy with a draw, even when we know that we had Argentina in the next game. So I don't think that he will risk anything.
Guys, the next
few
things I just want to talk about. It's going to be very interesting. We have, one of the best foreign managers, or literally right now we could say the best foreign manager in Africa, going up against, you know, the best foreign manager in Asia right now. Two managers are known to be just tactical masterclass. You know, Hervé Renard, he's won, you know, the African Cup of Nations with, you know, Zambia and Ivory Coast, you know, and he's done such a marvelous job with the Moroccan national team. They didn't even concede in the World Cup qualifier. He's going up against Carlos Queiroz. Oh, so, guys, based off of this matchup, it's definitely just all going to be tactical, isn't it? And what do you guys think about it? You know, especially these two head-to-head huge figures in the world of football going at it in the first match, which is do or die for both sides. Pejman?
Well, as you say, you know, you get tired just by thinking of it because Hervé Renard is a really respected coach in Africa. He's tremendous work with much worse team, Morocco, and still he showed Morocco with a good team as well. It's kind of like the clash of the minds, and the most important thing is who will be the best guy to analyze what happened in the first half, so they give the correct things to do for the second half. Because, to be honest, that's something that I'm really pleased about, how Queiroz turns the game into the second half. Usually, not always, but for the most parts, the second half of Iran is quite good because he made a correct analysis on what changes that need to be done tactically. I think Renard is the same. I don't know kind of play good enough, but I do rate Carlos Queiroz as one of the best coaches in that stage. So hopefully he will be the winner second half, because that's really Iran's chance is to actually win the games. That's what I believe. It's really hard to say.
Right. Arya?
I think that both coaches are, you know, tactical geniuses. I actually think that it will come down to, if anyone makes a mistake in this game, it will be an individual error. Because both teams are organized. Both coaches will organize their teams, regardless of the preparation or how bad it was, etc. I don't care. these teams will be organized. Any mistake that comes will be an individual error. Like against Turkey, two of the goals that conceded were Çeşme's individual errors. So I think any goal that we concede, or any goal that they concede.
I won't blame Çeşme for that second.
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm saying that
Turkey could have scored 4 or 5 goals. You know.
Yes, you're right.
Iran was awful.
But even those chances that were created, I think individually we were being very lazy on the ball. We were looking a little bit unprepared. I think that's the reason why we seem a little bit, unfit. So I think anything that happens, it will be probably a fitness issue or something like that. But I hope that we come into this game looking very organized, the same way we did against Argentina. And then we're able to sustain the performance level against Spain and Portugal. Because the worst thing will be if we play hard against Morocco and get a win and then lose, like oops, edit that part, I shouldn't swear that. If we lose 5-0, 6-0 against Spain, because we were really tired, you know, so it would be bad if it's a fitness issue.
Guys, so there's few matchups I've written down right here. Let's just try to be as neutral as possible, which shows you how interesting this matchup is going to be. You have Munir, their goalkeeper, versus Bayram Band, you know, which is a really interesting matchup between them two, because, you know, they're very height similar. I think Bayram is just a little bit taller. And, you know, we both know, even from what I've read, that both have been shaky, you know, these past couple of games and whatnot. And Arya, between this matchup, who would you say is going to come out on top?
I think Bayram Band was a great athlete. But I think that fundamentally he's not the best keeper we have, I think. Mazahiri is our best keeper, but he will start. Munir seems like he's a good keeper. He's playing in Spain, I think. Yeah. Is it with Numancia or something like that? He's doing well. But I think, I hope Bayram Band doesn't make any mistakes, because it would be very costly.
Because they both make mistakes, so that's funny. Pejman?
Yeah. I haven't seen enough of Munir, to be honest. I just read about him. Mm-hmm. And I think... it's just 90 minutes, you know. So if both keepers can be ready for 90 minutes, I think it's just it will be a 50-50. Right. So that's my answer.
So another key battle, which is going to be interesting, is that. And then when I say these key battles for the people that are what they're going to listen and they're going to watch the match, so look out for these kind of things. It's going to be Kaby. Obviously, it's going to be up against Mortaza and Çeşme. That's another key battle. What do you guys think about this matchup, Pejman?
Well, it's an interesting one. I think Çeşme will have a hard time, but I'm sure that he will get the necessary backup that he needs so that he can focus on what he's actually good at. And he's better at distributing the ball than maybe, great tackles. If Kaby have made his homework well, he knows the weak spots or the weak points that our good friend Çeşme have. So I believe that Kaby could be more dangerous and will maybe win that duel, but he still will end up with nothing, because I'm sure Çeşme will get that necessary backup that he needs.
Pasha, what do you think? You tell me.
I think, you know, with the form that Kaby has been for the national team, he's just done such a marvelous job, and especially now that, you know, he hadn't been playing the last few friendlies, but, you know, Heron and Renan just brought him back in, slotted him in starting 11. It goes on to show you that the manager has realized there's a weak point we have, and from what I've seen is that the issues are when we play against in the Asian Cup, we haven't been really up against tall players, you know, Mortaza or, you know, at the time, Jalal Hosseini. So it's going to be very interesting at how they're going to maintain him. I think if it's going to come down to it, I hope it's going to be more Mortaza defending the player as opposed to Çeşme. But, you know, it's interesting because they're going against one of the, you know, Morocco's predominantly, you know, best striker at the moment. So that's going to be another interesting battle. Another one that I've written down is Belhanda. he hasn't been consistent, but in the last match against Estonia, he was phenomenal. Against Ramin Rezaian. So that's going to be a huge matchup. And I hope Ramin Rezaian does a good job, because if Belhanda does Ramin really well, that's going to be one of our huge issues on the right hand side. Peshman, what do you think?
Sorry, go ahead, Peshman.
I think any fight against Ramin is a fight that Iran will lose, because Ramin isn't a great defender necessarily.
Belhanda is phenomenal.
So, well, we will see Ramin struggle on that side. And then again, I think just as Chashmi, he will get that necessary backup. But, I mean, how many backups can you have, you know, before right. all team are like in their own goal, more or less? That's what makes me concerned, that we can park the bus or whatever you want to call it, but Iran needs to attack as well, and that's where Ramin can be useful. So
I want to fight Ramin's battle a little bit, because I think that he gets too much criticism as a defender. I don't think he's made any mistakes defensively for Iran. If you look at his games, his 24 caps, whatever, he hasn't actually made any defensive errors, like to concede goals from in those caps. I don't think he's been that bad defensively. And in Belgium, he hasn't been bad either. I think the issue with Ramin isn't actually defensively. I think the issue with Ramin is actually his short passing. I think he's good at long passing and his crossing is good, but I think his short passing is a bit off. He always wants to play the long ball. You know, the typical Iranian player, like in the Iranian league, they always play long balls. I think he's kind of stuck in that sort of in that mentality of playing long passes. I think that's his issue. I don't think his issue is defending. I think he's a strong player. I think he can get back and defend. I think his issue is more a short distribution than it is defending. But you know, it's an opinion that I think people have of him.
Yeah, Arya, I do agree at some point. Ramin's defensive skills have improved in Belgium, and he have some coolness in him that he didn't have before. What we know is that the opponents probably see the Milad Mohammadi as a better defender than Ramin. So Ramin will get much more pressure. So if they'll come at Ramin's side five times and Mohammadi's side just one time, Mohammadi maybe will clear the ball, but at least five times, four times, Ramin would do good, and that one time would simply be not good enough, and they will make a dangerous cross. So maybe that's why he gets all this criticism, because they know that he's not a good defender as Mohammadi. Maybe he's not a bad defender, but he's simply not good enough, so he will get a much harder time. That's what I've been thinking about Ramin, to be honest.
There's two more matchups that I think is going to be interesting for all of us as viewers and listeners as well. One, I think this is going to be, for me, this is where it's going to be, if we're going to win this match or not. It's going to be Busofsa and up against Ebrahimi. You know, somebody that is basically their heart and soul, from what I've realized, and against Ebrahimi that just, we're just sliding back him in, and hopefully, because Saeed Azatali won't be playing, it's going to be a tough task for him, but how do you guys see this going, especially Iran's issue of distributing the ball, because only it's Ehsan Haytsafi in the middle of the park, and I think Masoud is a decent distributor, but he, you know, he's too old nowadays, and he's way too slow on the ball. Peshman?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that Omid Ebrahimi will start. I believe that Masoud will start, so it'd be a fight versus Masoud instead. And that's a fight Masoud will probably end up with a yellow card in the first half, which is kind of hard for him to play that kind of rough games that he usually do in when he's in a duel with a ball. But if Ebrahimi starts, I think he will be the winner of that, because that's what he does. That's what he has been done in Esteghlal and Sepahan the last couple of 5, 6, 7 years. Ebrahimi is good at what he does, but maybe not the best. But if you compare it to Masoud, he's better on that, because that's his usual position. That's what he's been trained to do. So against Masoud, Masoud will be the loser in that part. Against Omid, I think Omid will do well, to be honest.
Arya, you know, just on paper, we can obviously nail down that Masoud is going to start. So let's just hypothetically, like, I agree with Pedro on that here, is that let's just say Masoud versus Bousoufza. How do you see that matchup, especially that, you know, he's done such a great job for this Moroccan national team?
Yeah, Bousoufza, he was a Chelsea youth product, also like Ajax and then Chelsea, and then he went to Belgium for a little while, and then he went to Russia. And his career has been good, you know, he's always had a good career, he's always stayed fit, he always looked like a really talented player. He was born in Holland, grew up with, you know, Dutch football. He's a really, really talented player, very skillful. You know, he's small, but he actually is very elusive. And I think that if Shojai plays in that, you know, defensive midfield position as a deep-lying playmaker, you know, his role shouldn't be to make tackles, in my opinion. If he does play in that role position, then I think the player who has to be marking Bousoufza should be somebody who's like, you know, somebody like Hai Safi, but it's tough to say. I don't think Shojai should be that the guy who marks him, in my opinion. I don't even think he should be marked anyway. I think you should allow Bousoufza a bit of room, and then when you see him making the pass, then you should close him down. So I think the guy for that job is Ibrahimi. But if Shojai starts, he'll have a tough task, because I don't think Shojai is a defender. He can't make tackles. He's a big guy, but he can't make tackles. But the opposite is, if Shojai is on the ball and Bousoufza has to defend, I think it will also be a tough thing for Bousoufza. So we'll see what happens. I think it will be a tough, tough game for both of them, to be honest, but an important game.
The last key matchup before I'm going to ask you guys for your prediction is how my favorite player on this national team is Milad Mohammadi. Either he's going to go up against Abrobrat or Harit. So, oof, that's going to be interesting if he does actually go up against both or either one. Pejman?
Yeah.
Or Arya, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I think Harit's a fantastic player. I've been watching him for Schalke. I think he's a fantastic player. Harit has done well this season. He's not played that much, but I think from what I've seen, I like Harit's his style of football. Amrabat's a good player, but I think Riyad Mohammadi against Amrabat, to me, sounds like a really juicy affair. It's going to be something to watch. I don't know if Pejman agrees.
I agree. I think that's the most fun part to watch. These are two great players. I think there are just two winners here. I can't see one of them playing bad or being the responsible for something negative, you know. Mohammadi, for me, as you said, Pasha, a favorite player. He's done great in Russia, and I'm sure he will do great in the World Cup.
He's just a football player. He just puts his head down, doesn't do anything on social media, focuses, you know, he's done such a marvelous job, and, you know, he's...
Yeah, but no, I don't know if that social media part is important. I mean, he has his part, his share of strange posts as well, you know, with his twin brother. It looks kind of strange from now and then, but I don't want to focus on that, because after all, these players, they are human beings as well. I mean, let's say they train 4 or 5 hours, so what should they do in the rest of the time? I mean, they should be able to do whatever. So I don't agree with, it's another discussion, but I don't agree with the part that players shouldn't, you know, goof around or whatever they want to do on Instagram. Let them do that, because they wouldn't be where they are today if they weren't good football players. We should not forget about that. But coming back to your question, I think that these are two players that we will probably see in better clubs in the future, although there's nothing wrong with Schalke, but these players are really interesting, and they have a great future, I believe.
Fantastic point, guys. Last topic, it's been a great discussion to have with this episode, is predictions. I'm going to be as realistic as possible. I think it's just going to be a 1-1 draw. I'm not sure if you guys would agree. I don't see Iran defeating Morocco, especially because of how bad we've prepared with the friendly matches, as much as these players, we could have done much more with them. Aria?
Oh, Pasha, good prediction. I don't know. I think Iran will. I hope Iran win the game. If I'm going to be honest, I don't think they will. I think Iran will draw the game 0-0. But I really, really hope that we get one of those ugly goals. And we score like a header from Gocha Nejad in the last 5 minutes. I think if it's not 1-0, then it's 0-0. Basically, I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game. But I hope we can keep a clean sheet, at least.
Tejman?
No. You guys, you're so wrong. Both teams will surprise us. They had the both teams had the best defenses in the qualifiers, but now it's a new type of game now. It will be 3-3 scored from 6 different goal scorers. and really? It will be the best game in the first round of the World Cup.
As long as it's not the Iran versus Nigeria game we saw 4 years ago, I'll be more than happy.
Yeah, that was the worst.
No, guys. That was a super great game to watch. I mean, I said it to many people, you know, it was like, oh, if you can't sleep, just put on Iran-Nigeria and it will be lovely. But you have to understand the tactics, you know, how Iran came into the game and how prepared they were. And what team, a great team that Nigeria had, and how tactically disciplined Iran was against Nigeria. They had a tough 10-15 minutes in the beginning, but after that, a draw was fair, and Iran closed out a great Nigerian team with that squad that we had. To be honest, it wasn't the best players available. It was a decent squad, but none of them could compare to the Nigerian players or the Nigerian team. So for me, that game, I love to watch it over and over again just to show that how you can break down a team as Nigeria. So don't talk bad about that game again.
Fantastic point, guys. Thank you so much. Pejman is off to Russia. Pejman, I hope you have a fantastic
Mother Russia, here I come. Yeah, guys, we'll keep you updated as much as we can via Golbez and Twitter, Instagram, and whatnot.
Right. Aria, fantastic, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. So, guys that are listening to this episode, as always, you could find us at goldbazanpodcast.com. All our episodes are up on there. Admin and Moadi has done a fantastic job writing articles. We're trying to have a few more people that could help him write articles. If you guys are more than welcome to join him. His email is up on the website. Our email is mail@goldbazanpodcast.com. Everybody else's individual emails are up on the website if you just want to send a love note or anything to an individual person or speak to them directly. No problem. And all our Twitter handles are up on Twitter. So, guys, fantastic. Thank you, everybody, that are listening to this. Guys, pleasure. Let's hope for the best for Iran.